what it means to have spiritual disciplines. We talked about prayer. It's much simpler than you think. Then we talked about the Bible. It's much better than the movie. Then we talked about body for life, developing godly relationships. And so today we're going to talk about developing a life of praise and worship. Developing a life of praise and worship. As a disciple, we should be people who praise and what? Worship God. We should be people who praise and worship God. And so I want you to understand something, that we are created to worship, and everybody worships something or someone. Everybody. The atheist worships something. Yeah. You know, so whether it's, I don't believe in God. Well, you may not believe in God, but you're worshiping something or someone. We all worship something or someone. But we as Christians, we want to know, and we want to say that we worship God. We worship God. And on this, month, or especially on this week that we begin to celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you know that that announcement came with worship? That when the angel told the shepherds, it said, as he told them that, so that the choir showed up behind them and began to sing, "Glory, glory in the highest." That the angels showed up and began to praise and worship God. Do you know that Christianity has created some of the most beautiful praise and worship music that's out there? And, you know, God is a God of worship. He's a God of praise. And we as Christians should worship and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So as you find Psalm 100, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the word, Psalm 100, and we're going to read this, and we're going to get into, begin to dissect what it means to develop a life of praise and worship. Psalm 100, and it reads as follows. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." God, we love you. Speak to us and speak through us, that you may be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Developing a life of praise and worship. The first thing I want to talk about and question is, the point is, why we worship and praise God. Why we worship and praise God. Now I want to make this statement, and it's very simple, but yet it's profound. The reason why we worship and praise God, because he's the only one worthy of our worship. He's the only one. When you think about it, there's no one else worthy of our worship. Only God is. He's the only one that deserves it. As a matter of fact, he's the only one that can handle it. You know that? God can handle our worship. You know why? Because everything we say about him is true. You know, God does not have a God complex. You know why? Because he is God. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever met people that have a God complex? And you say, you shouldn't have that God complex. You know why? Because they're not God. You know, but God, when we praise him and worship him, like we said in that song today, God our Savior, God our healer, God my deliverer, yes he is, yes he is. That was true about him. And God said, when God heard us saying that, God said, show you right, that's true. Right. Amen, that's true. What they're saying about me, angels, that's true. And they said, amen, that is true about him. And so we understand that God is the only one who is worthy of our worship. And why is that? The first thing is this, because he is our creator. He is our creator. God created us, and we were created to know him, and we were created to worship him. Now, we were not created to be worshipped. We were created to worship. Now, most of us think that we are God's gift to the world, and we are to be worshipped. That's not true. God is to be worshipped. He is our creator. And as the psalmist said, he says that know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Now the key, he says, know. You got to know that. You got to understand that. You got to know that God is the one who created us. That first of all, you're not here by accident. God created you for a purpose. And one of that purpose is that we are here to worship God. So not to worship God, in my book, is a sin. Not to worship God and not to acknowledge him as God is sinful. Because when you say that you don't want to worship God, you're pretty much saying, God, you didn't create me. I'm here on my own accord. I came here by myself, and it's all about me. That is not true. The psalmist says that we need to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. God created the world. And those of us that he created, also the Bible says he redeemed us. Now, God created the whole world, but also God redeemed us out of this world. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So we worship and praise God because he's worthy of our worship. He is our creator, and he is our redeemer. God redeemed you. He redeemed you and I from our sinful, rebellious state. See, Christmas is all about, you know, a son being given. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ coming into the world on a rescue mission to rescue us from our sinful condition. That's what Christmas is all about. And when you have been born again, when you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I believe that we are the only person on earth, Christian, who can really celebrate Christmas. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what is there to celebrate about Christmas? I mean, truly. Because you know that no matter what type of toy you get, it's not eternal. It's going to break. It's going to fall apart. Eventually, something's going to happen to it, right? So the greatest gift that you can ever get and receive is Jesus Christ. And when you receive that gift, it's all about giving him worship and praise. Now, worship means to praise God for who he is. We praise God for what he has done. So you need to know who God is, and you need to praise him for what he has done. Who is God? He's our creator. What has he done? He has redeemed you. Has anybody been redeemed in here today? Yes. So the Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord what? Say so. So if you have been redeemed by God, have been forgiven of your sins, you should never be ashamed to praise and worship God. He deserves your praise. He deserves your worship. And we have to develop that. As Christians, we begin to exercise the spirit of praise. Now, he says also, make a joyful what? Noise. Now, I want you to know that now, this has really helped me out. That you need to understand something, that most of us think we can sing. Now, most people, especially in the shower. I mean, you think you sound good. I mean, those acoustics are sounding good. But now, not everybody needs to be on stage with a mic in their hand singing. I'm one of those people. I don't need a mic in my hand to be singing nothing. But now, no matter how bad some of you may think I sound, do you know that to my Heavenly Father, it's like music to his ears? I mean, seriously, I mean, have you ever had, you know, I mean, most of us think our kids are pretty good at something, don't you? I mean, we can find something about our kids that you're pretty good at that. Sometimes we over-exaggerate. I mean, you know how you remember when your kids were little and have a little play at school and you watch them, you got your and you just taking pictures and they might be messing the lines up. You said, "Man, I'm so proud of you, man. This is great stuff. Look at him up there singing." I mean, and you better say the wrong and they don't say nothing about mama's baby. Hey, listen, that was good. Now I want you to know that's how God feels about you. That when you are singing, even though our ears might be bleeding. But God has said, man, that sounds great. Look at her. Look at him. That sounds good. That's true. Seriously. He says, make a joyful noise. And for some of us, it's noise. What you're doing? It's noise. But God says, make it. He says, make a noise. Matter of fact, the Bible says that let everything that has breath do what? Praise the Lord. Now, if you're breathing in here, you should be praising the Lord. If you're not breathing, somebody can call 911 and get you out of here. But if you are alive and breathing, you are to praise God. God abides in your praise. God loves it when you sing to him. Now, that gives me encouragement that even though I might not never win American Idol, I'm a star in his eyes. Amen. Is that good news? That is good news. You got to preach right there. God loves you because he is our creator and he's our redeemer. So now we're going to talk about how to worship God. How do we worship God? First of all, you worship God with your voice. Just what you say. Say something. See, now I believe that, you know, if you, I don't know whether or not, now some people say, you know what, I'm just not, I don't like to sing. Or some people say, you know, I come to church and I'm going to come to church late. I'm going to miss the singing because I don't like the singing part. I just want the word. I mean, give me the word, forget all the other singing. I'm going to tell you right now, you need both. You should get here on time to get both. Because really now, when you come to church, you're not here just to get, right? Do you believe that? When you come to church, we're coming to do what? Give God what? Praise and worship. You're not coming here to say, it's all about me. Give me the word. No, you're saying, I'm coming to give him praise and worship because he is my creator. He is my redeemer. We come to give him praise. So you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss that time because we come together corporately to praise him. We come to join the choir, the angelic choir. Do you know what's going on in heaven right now as we speak? Worship. There's going to be one thing that is going to never stop that we're going to be able to do in heaven. Worship. Praise and worship. Do you know that something you're not going to be able to do in heaven? You're not going to be able to witness to unsaved people in heaven. They're not going to be there. They're not, really. You're not going to be able to share the gospel in heaven. No need for that. But you will still have to be a worshiper and be able to praise God. So for me, I'm going to practice now so it won't be a problem when I get to heaven. I'll already be already primed up. I'll be ready to go because I'll be already, I'm practicing now. And also, I'm going to say something also to us macho men who think we too cool to sing. Let me tell you right now, real men love Jesus. No, seriously, I'm not serious. Real men love Jesus. Real men worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They say, well, I don't like to worship. Okay, sure. Go to your favorite basketball game or your football game. You see men worshiping. I mean, they screaming, yelling, yeah, come on, you know, loud. So you know how to worship. It's all about who has your passion, correct? You make him worship. I heard you. I saw some of you. I seen you. Seen you in action. So let's talk about them Raiders. I mean, worshiping. I've seen it. So don't give me that. But what I'm trying to say is so important because as men, in order for us to be over, we must be under authority. And there's nothing better for our children to see us when we come into the presence of God that we're bowing, we're humbling ourselves and say, there's someone greater than me to look up to. Because most children look up to their father. But when they see their father looking up to his father, that they're looking up to the father. So I want you to understand that as you're praising God, you're pointing your children and you're saying to them that children, there's someone greater than your father that he himself has to bow the knee to. Worship him. Point your children to Jesus. And when you begin to come into his presence and you begin to worship him, they're saying, wow, even daddy is worshiping Jesus. And that's where it's so important. Even as mothers, you come and see your children, and your children see you worshiping God. And that's the thing I like about here, that our children see us, they in here with us worshiping God. They see mom and dad, we sing the song together, they're singing them together. They see us really saying, wow, it's okay to worship God. My parents did that. And so we are creating in them that hunger and that thirst, and we're showing them praise God. So we are to worship God with our voice. Then also we are to worship God with our life. You know that your life should be a daily act of worship? Your life should be a daily act of worship. Do you know that one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is praise and worship? The Bible says, and be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Also, in Colossians 3:16-17, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Then it says what? Singing psalms and making melody with a thankful heart in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of God, the Father, through him. So we are to sing. Psalm. Do you know that the book of Psalms is the Jewish hymn book? That the Psalms, all these songs were put to music. This is their actual worship book. David wrote most of his psalms, and he put them to music, and they would sing these songs as worship to God. David was a warrior, but he was also a worshiper. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He worshiped God. So we are to worship God with our life. Not only that, we're to worship God, it also says, with instruments. It says in Psalm 150, it says, praise him with the trumpet sound, praise him with the lute and the harp, praise him with the tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipes, praise him with the sounding cymbals, praise him with the loud clashing cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when Dr. Ware was playing the flute, that's part of worship. We praise him with instruments. We are to redeem the instruments and say these things are used to glorify God. So there is so much, you know, music that doesn't praise God. So we should be encouraging people, when you have a gift of music, use it to glorify him. We use our gifts to glorify Jesus Christ. God made the instruments to be instruments of praise to him. God made your vocal cords to be instruments of praise to him. And most of the time, when we think about those who are people who have made it big in the world of music, if you trace most of their history, most of them came out of the church. They said, well, I started at the church. And my question, why didn't you stay there? Because, what I'm trying to say is that they started there, but then slowly and slowly, they moved away from that. And when you think about it in life, you think their music has nothing to do with glorifying and praising God. And God gives us those talents, those gifts, ultimately to give him glory. And we have to develop a life of praise and worship. Do you know that your attitude can determine your altitude? Can determine how high you go? And what I mean by that is most of the stuff that happens to us doesn't really affect us. It's how we deal with what happens to us. But we're to praise God. Our voice. With our instruments. Not only that, with your body. So what do you mean with your body? Well, Psalm 63:4 says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. You say, does it matter how I worship? It can, yes. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible, they would worship, someone would lay prostrate. Go around the floor, low as you can go. And sometimes also they would raise their hands. And a sign of surrender, a sign of worship. Say, Lord, I raise my hands. People say, why are you coming to that church? And they're raising their hands. What's wrong with them? No, they're raising their hand in surrender to God. And more you begin to understand who God is, sometimes you want to bow. Sometimes you want to kneel. Sometimes you want to lift your hands in praise to him. And so we are to worship God with our body. We are to lift our hands. We are to praise God. We are to humble ourselves in his presence. So yes, you should honor God with your body. Yes, you should worship God with your body. And not only that, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Got the right attitude. We got to have truth with it. Because God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Do you know that Jesus says that God is seeking such worshipers? He said that God is seeking worshipers. Now I'm saying that's amazing that God is actually seeking after worshipers. Now if God came here today, would he find you to be a worshiper? Would he find you lifting your voice to him? Would he find you, you know, raising your hands to him? Would he find you kneeling in praise to him? God should see us worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when I think about truth, the only way that we can truly, truly worship God is through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So if someone is worshiping God and yet they're rejecting Jesus, is that worship? No. Because you're rejecting the gift that God says, hey, I'm giving you gift to that here's my son who's going to redeem you. And if you reject that, say, you know what? I'm going to worship God Apart from Jesus Christ, you're not worshiping him in truth. You're worshiping him in falsehood. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the people that can truly worship God is us who have been redeemed. And people should come into this place. Really, people should come into here, and if they're not Christian, they should think, wow, these people are kind of weird. They're talking about that guy Jesus, and they're all into it. And they're serious about it. I mean, have you ever been to a game and you watch folks, I mean, just shout crazy, and you think, man, what's wrong with them people? It's not that serious. I'm serious. I've been to a game before. I said, man, it's not that. I mean, one guy, the game hadn't even started. And this dude was screaming the whole time, wow! Yeah, I'm like, man, we didn't kicked off. I mean, the game hadn't even started. And he's over there screaming. Why? Because he was excited just to be there in the presence of the game. Now, I think he was drunk, too, but he was really into it. So he was filled with a spirit, not the spirit. But, you know, he was into it. But for us, when we come into his presence, we should, matter of fact, when we come here, we should come in the spirit of what? Worship. I mean, really, you should come in here, I mean, with a song on your heart. I mean, we should have to prime. All right, open your mouth. Come on now, y'all can sing. Come on. When you know God and you truly know who he is, you got to tell someone to quiet down. Don't take all that. But there's some people, when you know what they've been through, you say, now I understand why they act like that. Now I understand why they just shout and crazy and praising God, because they've been through something. So we need to understand that we cannot be ashamed to praise and worship God. So the third thing is this. When to worship God. When to worship God. Daily. Now, we understand that when people say, I'm coming to worship. We understand they come into the house. They come into a certain point. They come in here to worship. But I like what Tony Evans said. He says that worship is not an event. It's a lifestyle. No, you don't come to event of worship. I am a worshiper who's coming with other to join other worshipers in worship. So I'm coming already in the atmosphere, in a moment of worship. I'm coming into this place to worship with other believers, but I'm already worshiping. So that means that whether you hear in my presence or not, I'm daily worshiping God. So it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. And if you only wait till you get here to worship God, you wasted 6 days. You could have been doing that 7 days a week, praising God. Now you say, well, why should I do it daily? Because remember now, you have been created to worship. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we are now priests, a kingdom of priests. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're chosen, you are royal, you are a holy nation. You are God's possession. He has called you out of darkness. You was once not his people. Now you are his people. Why can't you praise God? That should make you want to shout right there. So it's so important when you understand who you are. And when you understand who you are and what God has done for you, when you really know you have been redeemed from some stuff. Because when you know, you say, man, I should have been dead a long time ago. Some of the stuff that I did that God kept me from, and some things in my past that God really just brought me out of and forgave me, you want to shout and praise his name, don't you? Glory to God. Yes. You can't help but praise him daily. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Today, amen. We want to rejoice in his name. His praise shall be continually word in my mouth. And we are to be a people who praise and worship God. And people should know where we stand when it comes to praise and worship. Yes. They should know who we praise and worship. And I want you to know, you know, John the Baptist said that if we don't praise God, the rocks will cry out. I want you to know, no rock will cry for me. And I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be silent. He may define me making a noise somewhere. But I'm not going to be silent here either. I'm going to praise and worship my Lord. Because we praise and worship everything else. Yeah, I mean, we really do. I mean, you ever been, you know, who's your favorite musician? Or you think about that song and you say, oh, that's my song, right? That's my song. I mean, that song, you just got to, ooh, getting with it, huh? Some of you are like, yeah, I'm thinking about it right now. You want to cut a rug. Because that song brings back what? Memories, huh? Of where you were and what was going on in your life. You know what? You and Jesus should have a song. I'm really. You say, that's me and Jesus' song right there. You and him should have a song, and when that song comes, you say, oh, that's my song. Talking about my Savior. I'm telling you, you ought to have a song that has a sense of emotion that it invokes in you when you hear the name of Jesus. The song says something about the name of Jesus. The sweetest name I know. Just praising his name. So we want to be a people who praise him when? Daily. And not only that, we want to praise God in good times. In good times. It says, James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing what? Praise. We should be in two postures, prayer or praise. And both of those are good places to be, right? Prayer, communicating to God, or doing what? Singing to God. Isn't that amazing? We can be talking to him or singing to him, but we always are communicating with God. I'm talking to him or I'm singing to him. But either way, I am communicating with him. We should be praising God. And I know for some of you who commute to work, that's a good time to pray and praise. I mean, you can sing a song to God, and no one's going to be in there with you. No one can hear you. We can't hear you. Amen for that. We can't hear you. But it's okay. God can hear you. And you sound good to him. Just keep it going. That's what it's all about. Communicating and in good times. And I want you to know also now, this might be the most easiest time to praise God, though. In good times. Can you agree with me? Amen. Listen, have you ever, you just felt, you woke up that morning, the whole week went good. You woke up and the kids are communicating, everybody's ready for church. You're like, man, this is great. And you came here, man, I'm ready to rock today, right? I'm ready to praise God. But it's not a time that we should praise God. And this is really when we really should praise him, in bad times. Now, I want you to know the Christian life, you heard me, there are some good times. There's some bad times. There's some things that we go through some stuff and we say, man, that was a tough spot I was in. And I could do nothing but praise my way through. When there's nothing you could do. It was out of your hands. There was nothing you could do. But you had a choice. I can pray and I can praise. Now I want you to know in the book of Job. Now, I don't wish Job's problem on my worst enemies. Nobody wants that. I don't even claim that. I'm like Job. No, Job went through a lot. Job lost his children, his finances, and his health. All in one day. All in one day. It said the messengers that just kept coming. And what did Job do? He had a decision to make. Because the devil was watching Job. I want you to know, now this is, I want you to understand this. We should never be afraid of the devil, okay? Devil has no power over us who know Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid of him. He should be afraid of us. But one thing he does, though, he does watch you. He studied the human race. And here's what Job said. Here's what Satan, the accuser of the brethren, said about Job. He's not been watching Job. He's a praise and worshiper. I hear him in the morning singing to you. But I want you to know you can't trust his praise, God. Now, you can believe me, Satan, to tell you that. You can't trust Job's praise. Because the only reason Job is worshiping you is because you blessed him. I mean, he said, who wouldn't pray to God like you? You give him everything he wants. I mean, he's healthy, he's got kids, he's got money. I mean, he's only praising you because of circumstances. They're good. He said, but I guarantee you, if his circumstances flip, he's going to flip. And God said, no, ain't going to happen. That's okay. Go ahead. You can touch it, but you can't kill it. And what did Satan do? Just, man, just life just was a wreck. But it says that after he lost his children, lost his finances, he's sitting there sick in his body, in ashes. And it says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How can he do that? After all he just experienced, how can he fall on the ground and begin to worship God? Because he knew God was his creator. He knew God was his redeemer. And he understood that he was created for a purpose, to worship and praise God. Job was not a circumstantial praiser. He knew that even though his circumstances looked bad, God was still in control. See, the good thing about Job's situation, when you read it, God was in control of the situation. He told Satan just how far to go. You can do this, but you can't do that. That's good news. That you are in good hands, in God's hands. What about you? You might be going through something that's really not so good. And you being tempted not to praise and worship him. Matter of fact, you probably came here, it was a struggle to get here. Struggle to open your mouth up. Struggle to hear those songs. You say, man, I'm going through something, but I'm here. But my mind is still back there, but I'm here. So you talking about, you're singing about praising God. You say, now you have a choice now. You gotta do something. You either pray and praise. But you got to do something. Because your circumstances, you can't control the circumstances. They're out of your hands. Nothing you can do. But look to the hills from where it comes your help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of what? Heaven and earth. When you know that, you can praise him. There are some bad times that come in the life of a Christian. There's one more I think about as we close. Acts chapter 16. A story of Paul and Silas. They are doing the Lord's work. They're sharing the gospel. And they're now in Philippi, and they're sharing the gospel. And Paul and Silas get thrown in jail, beaten, because what Paul does, he cast out a demon of a girl who was demon possessed, and she was practicing witchcraft. He cast the demon out, and her owners get mad at Paul because, well, she's useless to me now. She is no longer under the sway of the devil. And they bring Paul and Silas into the city, and they say that they ripped their clothes off, and they beat them with many blows. And then, to top it off, they take them and throw them into jail. And they throw them in the hard part of jail, I mean with the hardened criminals. And they put their feet in stocks. Body is bent over. Now when you say that was a bad day, anybody ever been beaten by the police for preaching the gospel? For doing God's work? These men have a decision to make. So I want you to see what happened. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Let's see what happens. They're now in jail. Body has been beaten, bruised, bloodied. They're in jail. And look what it says in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, verse 25. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Church, what were they doing again? They were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they were doing two things. They was praying and praising God after they had just been beaten and thrown into jail. Now, many of us, we ain't praying and praising at all at that time. We want our bail bondsman to put some money on the books. Get me out of here. And it says when they were praying and praising God, it said that somebody was listening. It says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wow. It's quiet. And Paul and Silas are praying and praising God, and the prisoners are listening to them. And it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Wow. That even in a bad situation that Paul and Silas had, they had to make a decision. And they chose to pray and praise God. And when they prayed and praised God, theologians said the Lord heard that. He said, it sounds so good to this that God tapped his foot on earth and the whole had an earthquake. It was so good. Do you know that that praise take the shackles off of you? Seriously, some of you are bound by what's going on in your life. But praise take the shackles off your feet so you can dance. As Mary might say. Yeah. Lift the shackles off your feet so you can dance. Why? Because you just want to praise Him, right? That's what praise and worship does. It sets you free. Even in the midst of your circumstance. Now, I didn't say it changes your circumstance. I didn't say that. Don't misinterpret me. It didn't change their, they were still in jail. But it changed how they viewed their circumstance. And even in their circumstance, they had the focus and the mindset to tell this young jailer, you need Jesus. Now, he heard them talking about Jesus. He said, what must I do to be saved? Because you guys are in there locked up. I'm out here free, but I'm still spiritually locked up. So God never wastes your pain. He never wastes your pain. He will use it as a fragrance of praise to Him. Praise God for what you're going through. Because you know He is your creator, He is your redeemer, He is your healer, He is your deliverer. Yes, He is. You ought to praise Him for that. So this Christmas, you have a choice. Every day you have a choice. Today you have a choice. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? Have you repented of your sins and turned to Him by faith? If you haven't, we invite you to join us. Join the choir. The choir of those who have been redeemed, who have been saved, who have been born again, who can say we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We want to worship the right thing, the right person. That's God. If you do not know Jesus Christ today, today is the day of salvation. God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. And that if you would just repent and turn to God by faith, the Bible says God forgives you and saves you. Not because you're good, but because he's good. Not because what you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. And the only response that we can do is say, God, you've forgiven me, I praise you. And from this moment on, I'm going to become a person of praise and worship. My life, my voice, my body will praise and worship you. Daily, in good times, and in bad times, you are my God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that...